and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
How do you solve that problem of your love waxing cold? People get married, they are in love, they are so much in love. Somewhere along the line, it looks like the love evaporates out of the window. The people now discover that they are drifting apart. And then for those who are in ministry, you don't need to look far to know where they are drifting to. Look with a keen eye. Somewhere along there, you find one sister. If it's a guy, that is the next attraction. It's not hard. If she is a lady and you look and she's that drifting starts, somewhere, you will find the guy that is the next attraction. And then when people come to me and start complaining about they think they don't love themselves anymore. Once they start telling themselves that, the next thing is that they are now thinking about, okay, what do we do? Especially the men. It looks like in Africa, the men are the first to start hitting towards that boundary. I need to get out of this relationship. I need to get out. Marriage relationship is not something you get out from. It's death that gets you out of it. It's till death do you part. So if you are not getting out of it alive, you better now learn how to make it worthwhile. What gets you out of it is death. That's why it's covenant. It's my life for your life. My blood for your blood. Of people falling out of love. Is that girl you used to chase or? You used to hang around. Now, there's nothing happening. Men are going through things, so. Have we had challenges? Yes. Somebody told me when I got married, every time, Pastor Sarah. You know what they told me? Let's give you 3 years. Then I met another guy in the U.S. who told me maximum 5 years. After they said that, I wrote it somewhere at the back of my mind. I said, let me also give myself 5 years and see if this thing will calm down. That obviously, this is new love. First love. So it's shocking you, Pastor David, like wine. Let's give you 3 years, 5 years. It will calm down. And I actually gave myself 5 years. Because this guy was a little advanced. He was telling me, it's because you're new in this thing. Just forget. So, I have given myself. And I'm shocked. It's not coming down. It's getting worse. I'm not joking about this thing. The Almighty God in heaven knows that I'm not lying. Just like tomorrow, if I have the opportunity, by then she will be here. I will share also some practical things with you. So you will see, because we have had challenges, like every other couple. But when the Bible said, many waters cannot quench love. I, at least for 15 years, have proven that it's true. I'm also going to make clear that it is not luck. It is not, it's a product of some basic principles. I was just blessed to learn it. There was a period I drifted from it, and I had the experience of what men talk about, where they say their marriage has gone dry. I experienced it. I did. And you know, like a busy person who is very busy in ministry. And I was busy doing my stuff. But you know, the woman is usually the first to call your attention. So she calls me and says, no, there's nothing really wrong. What are you talking about? He said, things are not like, I said, I don't think so. But anyway, we have a day, we renew covenant every year. By this time, I have calmed down, we came for that. And I sat down and I looked at a few things and I saw. Because a minister is not supposed to have affairs. It's wrong even for normal people, talk less of men of God. The number one thing that opens you up to fall into such temptation is that the marital relationship you have has drained out. It's just two empty containers in one house. There is nothing inside anymore. So I want to show you a secret that can keep you and your wife in love till Jesus Christ returns to meet you people here. I have seen old people in love, 70 in their 70s. I have seen some in their 80s. I have seen some in their 60s. That's how I was able to know that the word of God is true, that this thing works. I have seen people who are freshly married that have fallen out of love. And let me give you all a secret. Anytime somebody comes to you, a couple, and says, we are no more in love, there is nothing anymore, don't listen to that garbage. There are certain things they did that assassinated their love. Teach them what I'm about to teach you now, and that love will come back and become stronger than what it used to be. Love is a perishable commodity. It's not something that accumulates. It's like oxygen. When you breathe it in, you cannot say, I just breathed some oxygen, so I've been holding it in. It has carried me for the next, it's going to carry me for the next 2 weeks. No. There are certain things that when you stop doing, your love life dies. And those same things, you bring it back. This thing will come with such strength that you even wonder. What I found in my personal work with Pastor Sarah and work with God is that the thing is getting stronger as the years are coming. She actually thinks she was finer when I married her. I think what I have now is far more finer, far more sophisticated, far more refined than what I married. It's true. That's why I'm starting this, because if we show you how to flow anointing, flow all those things, and you fail at home, you have failed though. You failed. You failed the foundational education. How do you intend to pass university? On what are you going to build future knowledge on? So the challenge today is, how do you sustain your first love? The challenge also is, how do you restore or rekindle your first love if you have lost it in your marriage? Then, if you want to find the answer, the question is, the where to look is to find out how to rekindle your first love in your relationship with God. Marriage is a mirror image of your relationship with Jesus. Never forget that. Anytime you start losing it here, look at that relationship, you'll find your way back. God created marriage to teach men what covenant relationship with Him is all about. God gave us somebody to love so that we can understand how much He loves us. God gave you somebody that can hurt you so you can understand how much you hurt Him. The person that can hurt you the most is the one you love the most. Love is a mixture of pain and pleasure. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's painful. You can see the man crying on the cross. Do you know that thing on the cross? Love. A man is laying down his life for the one he loved. When you see a woman in maternity, delivering a baby. You know that thing? Love. After all, you can just go to the doctor when the child was 6 months and remove it. What's your business? Somebody is going through that pain to give another person life. If you want to understand what true love is, it's not just pleasure like they are making you believe. There is a cross in the center of the heart of God, a heart of love. So in love, there's a lot of forgiving. There's a lot of patience for each other. There's a lot of enduring. If you want to understand true love, read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Love is... If you watch that chapter, it doesn't flow like what they rap in rap music. It doesn't flow like American love. That is popcorn love. It lasts for 2 weeks. Maximum is a few months. The guy has fallen for another girl. It's not real, it's fake. It's like your fake eyelashes and fake all that. It might be shiny. Fake boobs, fake all the stuff. Nothing is as good as the original. First Corinthians chapter 13. You love somebody, treat him the way First Corinthians 13 said it. Be kind to that person. Be patient with that person. Endure. Tolerate. Forgive that person ahead of time. Don't count wrongs. Don't record wrongs. Don't be proud in relating with that person. Don't be haughty. Don't be boastful. Don't be selfish in dealing with that person. Seek the other person's good. Let's say one more time. From now, after God, is my spouse. And me last. Okay, maybe let's say and me third. Now, I want to say that because they are still the children. Never put the children before your spouse. But never put your spouse before God. Okay, give me Revelation chapter 3 on first love, and I'll round up with it. First, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Jesus is discussing his relationship with the church, which is his bride, his wife, and he mentioned that there is a problem. There's a problem with the relationship. And he was telling the woman, see what the problem is. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. In this case, it's the lady that is going cold. She has gone lukewarm. Whenever it happens to you, you know. Because other things creep in your heart. Other things. The world. Some other things. It could be your career. It could be your money. It could be other things. It could be relationship. And start gradually easing Christ out of the first place he's supposed to be in your, have in your heart. You can tell when it's happening in your marriage. Other things start creeping in. Other things start creeping in. We are not discussing the laws of marriage, of successful marriage today, but I need to pick out one so that I can build this thing on it. The first law of successful marriage is the law of first priority. Write it down. marriage only works in first place. If you put any other thing before your marriage or before the person you marry, you have already set that marriage up for a fall. Once you remove God, here, marriage, your spouse takes the first place. Marriage only works in first place. The moment God finished creating a wife for Adam, he now said that rule. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Living and cleaving. So God set the law of priority into motion here. What he was saying in essence is that marriage relationship is the only relationship that can make a man leave the most important relationship in his life, which is the relationship with the people that gave birth to him. You might find a young girl and that becoming daddy's love and that has that special attachment to her father. You might find a young man having that special love for his mother. Sometimes you find it between the father and the son. Sometimes you find it between a daughter and a mother. Other people have with their other members of the family, like their brothers and sisters. God is saying, when I introduce marriage into your life, if you are ready for marriage, you should know that it will be the number one thing before all the other relationships you have. So I'm going to give you five things to leave. Number one, or five things to put your marriage above. Number one, put your marriage before your father and mother. You need to write it down, because your problems are coming from one of these. Number two, put your marriage before your brothers and sisters. Number three, put your marriage before your friends and other relationships, like your ex. Some of us have had those ladies in your life or guys in your life before you finally met the one you married. Put your marriage before that. Of course, leave your ex, your former girlfriends. I know you are a pastor, you are holy, but I know there were girls who were interested in you. Normally, when a woman pursues God, men pursue her. It's a law. As you head towards him, people start finding extra beauty in you that they cannot explain. When a woman pursues men, men run from her. Then hunters come, eat her bread, and leave her heartbroken. Put your spouse before your ex. Never argue with the person you are married over what that former person said or no. Don't even, if they ever raise the issue, that is, make it like the guy is a nobody when he comes. That's reduced. What if you start saying, the guy gives better than you? Away. Because for the Almighty God, your ex is the idols your fathers worship. If you try God with that one, he can break your head, though. It provokes him to don't try it. Idols may be wood, but God can't take it. God didn't plan this thing to be shared. Just like he didn't plan worship to be shared, he didn't plan this thing to be shared. Don't say women are very jealous. Men are jealous. Men are jealous creatures. Men are very jealous creatures. If somebody is not jealous over you, the person doesn't care. Did you hear what I said? I'm not talking about the women with that extra possessiveness, because that is another thing that needs to be tackled. It's something depleted of love and self-esteem, so they lash on to you like air. No man can give you that one. That one comes from God. Identity, self, your security, your purpose comes from God. And if you don't get it in your primary relationship, you're going to overchoke the person you marry.
You have to be a confident person. You have to have a sense of identity. Not be threatened by any woman that goes beside your husband. You start shaking. If you are like that, it means your relationship with God is not sound. You have not collected from Jesus what he's supposed to do in your life. You need to go and solve it. No man can give you that one. So that's not what I'm talking about. Never compare with your husband. Never compare with your wife. Never compare your wife with another woman. Never compare your husband with any other man. When it comes to the marriage institution, your guy is your alpha and your what? Omega. Your wife is also your alpha and you are. If you ever find her or him raise any form of suspicion or a sign of insecurity, destroy it by one act of ministering to your spouse. That's what you did to the Lord this morning. If there was anything where God was a little worried, her heart had started shifting, you just killed it with this worship. Tell that person, don't think it. Make it clear. When it comes to you, there is no competition. There is no order. You see the things you tell God in worship, you should learn to also minister to your spouse that way. I'm not telling you to worship them, but that thing is a picture of how we are to minister to each other. It's more important than the food you cook. It's more important than sex. It's after that, the other things now come. You must learn to do it with your mouth, like you do it with the Lord. And to have verbal intercourse before physical intercourse. Your marriage will stay fresh. If your first love is gone, it was destroyed by words. Bad words. Wrong words. If you want to bring it back, you bring it back with words. Words created it in the first place. Words will sustain it. Write what I've told you down. No. You know how you felt for that woman? As you started telling her how much you love her, how much she'll probably run away initial time, try to avoid you, but finally she started listening, and then they caught her and they caught you. The more you said it, the more it boiled in you. Once love starts finding expression, it starts exploding, it starts growing. So where you say now that there is no love anymore, start telling your wife how much you love her. Start telling your husband how much you appreciate him, how much you adore him. After a few days, you'll be wondering what happened to you. You will be head over heel in love. So you can see the first key to first love is worship to Jesus and to when it's first love with Jesus and first love with your spouse is worship. Worship. You cannot be a true worshiper and be out of love. It's not possible. Worship is actually the art of falling in love again and again. It's the art of falling in love again and again. This lady knows how to do it with Jesus. My sister, become a guru in knowing how to do it with him. You may not be the best, the finest girl in Port Harcourt, but when it comes to making this man feel like a king, feel appreciated, feel honored, beat everybody in it, and the guy will remain in your hand. Don't care if they like, let them start manufacturing fresh girls from the Atlantic who have never touched the soil. It won't cross. When they finish, this is, it will come back to you. It's the charm that holds a man, binds him head to head, make him feel special like you make Jesus feel special. Make him feel needed like you make Jesus. So you tell Jesus, I'm lost without you. You don't know you should tell your husband things like that. It's not on the same level, but I don't know what life would have been for me without you. Meeting you is the greatest thing beyond God that I found on earth. I appreciate all the things you're doing for me and the children. You see, this money you give, I don't take it for granted. He will go and start doubling it. Are you a real man? Look at the kind of money you brought. You said this is money for food. He brings it in small. But you tell him, I appreciate it. I know you work hard to make this available. I know that there are bigger things. And I know you want to give us the best of life. I really thank you for this. Next time, Naka, you go buy you. If there is such a thing as killing somebody with worship, Pastor Sarah has finished me with it. There is no charm in the world that can come anywhere near it. It's the same thing, oh, you minister to your wife ministers to you. That's how God planned the home. You worship the Lord, you worship the Lord, you enter 18, he puts his hand around you and hugs you. That's he does with his presence. You see us crying sometimes. See, sometimes we go on. Sometimes, you know, there are different ways. It's a symbiotic stuff. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Everyone say, do your first works. Find those things you used to do when you were chasing that girl. Find those things you used to do when you were when you were newly in love with that man. Start doing it. Guess what? The first love comes back. It's just certain things that we minus. Then love dies. Then we think, I don't love her anymore. No, there is nothing that has gone wrong with your marriage. Certain things has only gone wrong with the routine and the habit of that marriage. It's just habits and traditions. Habits and traditions. Go back to it. It rekindles everything. Pastor Sir likes taking walk. And in those days in Abuja, I will go to visit trees. All this. I trek to Nikon Nuga. Sheraton. I'm following a girl. I just visited Abuja to go and see her. She likes walk. And then Abuja was well done that you have those parts. So that period, I noticed that things went down. So I went to the Lord and said, this issue is true because I can tell there's certain things. So he said, go back to the principles of first love. One of them is the issue of devotion. You do it with Jesus, you have to do it with the one you love. Starve marriage of time and it dies. Starve love of time and it dies. Fellowship. And when you create that time, minister to each other like you minister to me. Then he says, secondly, restore back those old traditions, those culture, those habits, those little things you used to do that made two of you grow so strong. And I sat down and began to make a mental note of them. I know this is one of them. Because as we're doing it, we're exercising our physical body, but it gives us time to talk. Oh, ladies like to talk. It will gist you, oh, gist you new. Once you can spend time with a person gisting like that, you will be getting deeper in love. Because this exercise time is bonding time. When we finish, it's like we met afresh. You don't flow with your spouse anymore. Wait, last you people talk. There is no human being on earth I talk more than, share more than, laugh more than that Pastor Sarah. She's even a comedian, no? Oh, laugh. The people wonder, what is wrong with this people? One guy came and saw it. He said, hey, I admire you guys. You people are newly married. We say, yes. Give your congregation the slightest sign that you and your wife are miles apart. There are crazy sisters. Believe me, they are everywhere. They are in every city. They like pastors without boundary. But I'm not bred for eating. Nowhere. What are you looking for in the laps of Delilah that God has not provided for you in your house? In your own house. We devalue what God has given us and we are looking for something else. And you know what Delilah does and all these ladies that think you think that they like you especially. Once they have derobed you of your honor and glory and your ministry, they look for the next Johnson. The day they disgrace you, you'll be looking for her to give ordinary hug. You will see her. The day you see her next, you say, hey, meet my... Is your anointing that is attracting them, or don't be deceived and think they love you. There's one woman that is taking all nonsense for you, going through all the whatever for you. And that's the person that deserves that thing back. Just like Jesus is the one that died for you, that deserves that first place. And there's one man that is there with you, tolerating everything, and that's the man that deserves. And that's when you ignore, you're looking at the handsome guy you saw in your office. Okay, I'll give you three principles to write down. If you do it, you will always have your first love. And remember, if you do this, you won't worry about rapture because you will go. If you lose your first love and don't correct that situation, Jesus might come the day you are not expecting and it will be a sad story. So as it is in relation with Jesus, that's how it is with marriage. How do you keep your first love with Jesus? Three things. Number one is your time. Put Jesus first in your time. Begin every day with Him. That's what is called devotion. The place of your worship, your relationship with Him, the time you spend with Him. Begin every day with Him. Talk with Him before pursuing business. Talk with Him. Put Jesus first in your time. Number two, your treasures. Put Jesus first in your treasures. Give Him the first fruit of your increase. What is number one? Devotion. What is number two? Tithing. Tithing. Tithing is the way you keep God first in your finances. But every time you have a major thing that happens to you for the first time, give that first fruit to Him. Number three, your talent. Give God the first place in your talent. What is the meaning of the word talent? Your labor, your work. Give Him the first day of the week. Work 6 days, give Him the Sabbath day. Whether you observe Saturday or you observe Sunday or you observe Monday, what God wants to know is that He has one day out of every 7 days of your week. Can I say it again? Give God the beginning of your labor. Use that day to minister to the Lord, to go and minister to people, to go and do things that affect the kingdom of God, to do things that affect God's purpose, for God's plan for humanity. Don't use it to go and run up and down making money. Now, I know that many of the institutions where some of our people work are not godly, so they are violating these things. That's also why you need to grow from working for men to where you are working with your own gift, where you are the one employing. And if you employ other people, never violate these three rights from them. If you have the type of job that people have to rush out early, introduce devotion in the office before work starts. Either you give people time to have their own quiet time, or you bring them together to have corporate devotion. Because if people are not growing inward, they will not grow outward, and it will affect your company. If you're in partnership with somebody, in business. So partnership can become an obstacle to tithing. So what you should do is have profit sharing on monthly basis or quarterly basis. You have to have it. Put yourself on salary. You have to have something you get. Then always give God his tenth. And anytime something new happens or a breakthrough occurs, go and honor God with the first fruit. Anytime there is a new beginning, honor God. And you will always have God as your first love. First love is not something we say, I'm praying for my first love. Just do your first works. There are first things. You put that person in the first things in those areas. It's in your finance, it's in your time, and it's in your talent. And God will remain first in your life. And you will have problem going in the rapture. Now, but that's how it is with your marriage. I don't know if I'm helping somebody at all. Eh? Okay, let me give you a scripture so that you will see. In relationship with Jesus, because I'm going to give you now the application in marriage. In relationship with Jesus, watch. Matthew chapter 10 verse 37. I quoted this law at the beginning, the law of priority. Marriage works when you prioritize your spouse above every other relationship. I don't know if I listed all of them. Put your marriage before your father and mother. Did I say that? Put your marriage before your brothers and sisters. There are five of them. Put your marriage before your friends and your ex. I've said that one. Okay, the next one is put your marriage before your babies and your kids. I say babies because it could be fresh ones. And then your children, the ones that are growing or growing. Whether they have grown, they have become adults, or they are still young kids, put your spouse before them. A lot of mistakes are made sometimes by the woman. Other times it's by the man. Woman is blessed that marriage. God has blessed that marriage with a wonderful young man that is, you know, intelligent, and the father is so proud. And if care is not taken, or it might be your daughter, men and their daughters. And then the last, put your marriage before your career and your business. Of course, let me put it in a balanced way. Put your marriage before your career and your ministry. If I teach God's value system now, you will see the kingdom comes before relationship, but not your ministry. God comes first, his kingdom second, family and relationships come third. The kingdom, not your ministry. Your relationship comes before your ministry because your wife is the number one partner God gave you to undertake that assignment. If you check the dominion mandate, you notice that he said, let them, male and female, have dominion. Let them. The dominion mandate is not given to the man only, nor to the woman only. It's given to them as a team. So the relationship comes before the assignment the relationship is brought together to carry out. Relationship before ministry. Relationship before business. Relationship before your career. This is how third first love disappears. In the spiritual arena, your career starts coming before your relationship with Jesus. Your business start coming before your relationship with Jesus. Next time, you are absent from church. I tell you, from Singapore to Japan, from Japan to Idumota to whatever, for one contract where you are supervising the new building project they gave you. Okay, before you had the building project, you were doing well with Jesus. Jesus has now answered your prayer and blessed you with a contract in Port Harcourt. He will have to pay for it, for blessing you. It's like I buy a car for my wife. She falls in love with the car and abandons the one that bought the car. Never put your possession, never put your finances above your spouse. It's the number one law of marriage. It's called the law of priority. That's how relationship with God works, and that's how relationship with He who loves father and mother. Look at Jesus. more than me. It's not worthy of me. But this same principle is what applies to marriage. Because this one is also marriage. It's your relationship with Jesus. You are his bride. So you have to leave your father and mother and cleave to your spouse, so that two of you can become one flesh. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, everything I'm writing concerning husband and wife applies to Jesus and the church. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You can imagine if we even add, he who loves brothers and sisters more than me. Some of us are exalting our siblings above our spouse. And this is what is causing all the problem in the home. Add as the final element in that your list, put your spouse before yourself. Then you have learned Christianity. You have learned it. All these things that PCJ have been teaching, you have learned it. Because this is now the application of it in the home. I see a great ministry that the enemy will not be able to stop. You don't know. You don't know. If you see the things God shows me in vision, what you guys are doing around the world, the glory of this ministry belongs to the sons. If you see the mighty men that I were imagining, and he shows me these things ahead, and he tells me where the stumbling blocks are, remove it from these people. That's what I'm doing. He said to Abraham, I know him that he will command his children after him to walk in the ways of the Lord, so that the Lord will fulfill for them everything he has promised. That's what I'm doing. Because there is no special demon. It's the same old tricks. The same old devil. The same old tricks. But I don't know why people still fall for it generation after generation. I give you 5 ways to apply the law of priority in your relationship. Learn it. You're going to be freshly in love. I say I'm more in love today with Pastor Sarah than when I married her. I can't explain. Sometimes I even wonder. So this thing is really like this. And remember I told you that there was a turbulent season when the thing also went. So I learned the secret. This thing can revive any dead marriage. Many waters cannot quench love. For love is as strong as death. Any family that is having challenge with childbirth or having challenge with anything that has to do with that will end it. You're under a dominion mandate. And the blessing that unleashed this mandate, the first element of that blessing is be what? You don't have enough demon on earth to stop you from that. Let me list this thing. Just take note of them. Number one, schedule date nights every week. Just like you have to have Sabbath day for the Lord, schedule a day a week for dating your wife afresh. You see, that's the secret. We do it with work. We do it by going out. Go to ShopRite, watch movie. We don't have, we'll go and buy it, come and sit at home, watch it and laugh and eat suya or whatever it is that you can afford and all of that. That is the simple thing. Because that's what I used to do with a girl. I go to Abuja, I take her to one suya joint. Create date nights once a week to date that lady. Go find something that two of you enjoy and go and do it. You will find the beauty of marriage. Marriage is interesting, believe me. It's beautiful. Now you are still fresh in it. You will meet the turbulent weather as you go. If you learn this secret, hide them. They will clear your weather and keep the aircraft flowing on its journey. Number two, schedule daily or weekly devotional time. Because there are two ways. That's why I carefully chose the two words. There are two ways you can have devotion, that two of you actually do it together every day. But there's also another way where you can allow each other to do their own relationship with Jesus. But at least a week must not pass without two of you having to sit down, study the word, pray together, tackle some of those things together, and all of that. You can write that one down. The family that prayed together, stayed together. It's as simple as that. And you can also write it as a principle. Pray for each other. You pray for every other person. You pray for souls. You should pray for your spouse. Some of the things we complain about, put it in prayer. You cannot change anybody. It's only God that has power to change people. Put it in prayer. Affirm the person. Amplify the positives. Downplay the negatives. But some of those other ones, put it in prayer. That also does not mean that there shouldn't be times when you are honest with each other to discuss things that may not be helping you, things that are coming up that is actually working against your relationship. And then you make commitments to grow, to adjust them, to correct them. If your spouse is complaining about something that is harmful to him or her, don't stay there and be defending that thing. Because that's what we just said. Love, put the other person first. Schedule annual holidays. Take a whole week off. Take some days off. Travel somewhere. Go to Budokato Ranch. Go check into some hotel with some park. Go and swim and do something. Go somewhere. I see these days now some of our pastors are traveling. But most of the time when I check, they are traveling alone. My friend, you are looking for trouble. Oh. Stop traveling alone. Stop traveling alone. Schedule annual trips and take your wife with you. And there should be some times when you take the kids along. It causes family to bond. It's not about going to America, or going to Disney World, or those whatever. No. The important thing is doing it. If I teach you about Jesus, we're always, I didn't mention it when I was giving the list, to schedule retreats annually. It has helped this ministry a lot. That's why PM and, you know, with all our global mission, global, please, with the CEC, protect pastors' retreat. Oh. Once marriage has scattered, every other thing is fake. If you don't know the strength of this ministry, those retreats. It's the same thing with family. We are busy trying to save the whole world, or to save all the nations in the world, but we must keep ourselves strong and intact. And then we'll be able to finish it. Ignore relationship, you will fail to fulfill your mandate. That's how the law of dominion is. I see pastors flying out, traveling. Now when you check, then you know you are already in big trouble. The serpent already has you in his mouth. He's about to swallow you. When we now see holidays time, you are taking off, you are not carrying one sister or one whatever. You know, people are very intelligent. That's why rules and regulation, it's better that you write it in the hearts of people and in their mind. That's what I'm doing. This one we write as constitution. They will arrange it, pay the girl's ticket, go ahead, check into the hotel. Then come to Lagos and greet me. Daddy, you know, I told you I'm going to Dubai this year. Yes, who are you going with? I'm just going alone. Oh. We'll get over there. They will meet where they are meeting. The dragon is about to swallow you. But that is bonding time between you and your wife. That is bonding time for family that you are wasting on the altar of foolishness. Go to Budokato. Go find some. Go to visit Akwa Ibom. Go and visit Yankari. Visit different places now, developing places to go and see. You must not be outside the country. Come and see us in Ghana. Write this down. There are three irrefutable laws of successful marriage. It has never failed and it will not start failing with you. The problem is you're not doing it. Go back to the first works. Look at it. The family that pray, P-R-A-Y, together, that walk, W-O-R-K, together, that play, P-L-A-Y, together, ultimately stays together. Any marriage that has it will not crash. So that is also leading me to the next thing. Make sure that you carry your love, your wife or your husband along in your ministry or in whatever else you're doing. Make sure that your wife is a partner in your dominion mandate, in your ministry, in the pursuit of your destiny. Make sure that they know what is going on. Make sure that the first person you share all the things that are going on, when the challenges are coming, when you are making breakthroughs and all of that. You know, so make sure you carry your spouse along. Even if you are the one that is pastoring and the other person is a business person, you must know that that anointing is also your spouse. Get him to see that and start playing his role. Joyce Meyer, who was a woman that was, you know, the one called, and the husband was a businessman, dude, I had to find out later that the man also has an anointing to play a part. The dominion mandate is a corporate mandate. It's not an individual thing. It's given in plurality, not in individuality. Those who like independence will fail in marriage. Marriage does not work in independence. Marriage works in interdependence. If you don't want another person, whatever, stay single. Let me give you a few more. I'll close it. Schedule covenant renewal periods once every year. The period where you make fresh vows, make all the commitments all over again. Swear with the name of Jesus that you are allowed to do it in marriage. Promise each other heaven and earth. Do all the things. You should always have it once every year. And let me also tell you, every 5 to 10 years, schedule to do it publicly before a priest. Before a minister. I know you're a minister. Do it before another minister. Don't give vow to yourself. You need a witness for God. Actually, the recognized one in the world we live in is that they do. Give me all the years. 15 years is what? Eh? What is the first one? Eh? 10 years is what? Be mentioning there is silver, gold, in all the different jubilees. Which one? 5 years is what? Silver is 25. Golden is 50. Diamond is 75. Create your own names. The whatever. So, every 5 to 10 years, some who are wise do their own every decade. Some who are do it every 5 years old. Some. But you know, you want to do something grand, you can use all those 25, 50, 75. If you leave renewal till that period, your marriage will have finished dying since you won't even reach there. It's an annual thing. That's what the scripture taught. For the children of Israel, is the year of the Day of Atonement every year. Schedule it. If you do these things, you will always be in love. You will always be in love with each other. Did you see what Jesus said? Once you finish repenting about leaving your first love, the way to now solve the problem is do your first works. And if you want to know what it is, you just go back to when you were chasing this girl or when that guy was chasing you and ask yourself, make a note, those things you guys used to do, how you used to treat each other, start it all over again and you'll be freshly in love. Somebody said, I hear. So let me just give a few more things to note. But I've given you the core principles. Learn to date each other like you used to do before you got married. Learn to take walk together. Enjoy life together. Go breathe fresh air together. Or exercise. Find activities or tasks that both of you can enjoy and do it together. Find sports, for example, that you enjoy. Find movies that you love and enjoy it together. Find time to talk and share and listen to each other. Gist. That's how you build friendship. Your spouse is supposed to be your best friend on earth. Learn to express your love for each other on a constant basis. Don't just think it or feel it. Say it. Express it. Learn to give gifts to each other. See how honoring of fathers. There are some of us, except this kind of opportunity, don't even do it. It's something you should be doing, no? And I'm also advising you, because many couples are not doing, maybe you should create one particular period when it's a must. You must buy a gift for your wife. It doesn't matter how small. That is the secret of love. Use the birthdays, for example. You can use your wedding anniversaries. When your children start growing, teach them the same thing on Father's Day and Mother's Day. They will learn the secret. That family will grow to be strong. Learn to pray for each other and learn to study God's word together. So have times when you do your devotions together and share. And that is as couples. And then finally, learn to be partners in progress. Learn to be partners in ministry, partners in whatever God has called you to do. And you will find out. You will find out. Yeah. You will find out that God's word is true. That's what I have proven. I have discovered. So it's not luck. Our pastor is just blessed with a happy marriage. No. It's the application of basic principles that create that luck, that create the result. So there is nothing like luck. If you work at it, you become lucky. You ignore it, you become unlucky. Amen. I would have loved to do some interaction, because this is really very serious. Okay, let me get just only 3 feedback. It can be a contribution. It can be a testimony proving that the word of God is true. It can be a question. It can be whatever. It can even be how you feel about the idea that we are doing this kind of thing. Do you like the idea or you don't like it? You know, but let's get feedback. Who wants to be the first? Just 3, so you need to go. You can go. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much, sir. We are greatly and highly honored. I just want to say that with this, if we can go to our various chapters and put this in practice, in short, the sky will be more than our limit. I just want to advise us, the wives especially, let's put all things our Father has taught us in practice. Thank you very much.
You would like to be an all-round success. How many of us would like to be? After you have helped others, you come back home to a home that is a home, a garden of Eden. Let's go back. This is the secret of building your own Eden. Let's do it. I'm sure you will. Get the tapes. Make sure that all the leaders and all the pastors, even those that are not, you know, put it in their hands. Let them learn to cultivate the Eden principle. Then the dominion mandate will not fail in their hands. Anybody that gets this area right will have dominion. Trust me, I know what I'm telling you. Madam, thank you. And I need at least 3 feedback. Let me see what you think about either what you are learning or the fact that we are doing this. You want? Like I said, they have said what I wanted to say. It's not true. Say the one you want to say. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. When I woke up this morning, I just looked at her. I told her, I said, hi. I said, we don't spend time together. She works 6 days a week. I work 7 days a week. Every time.
That's a big violation. The 7 days one.
So we don't really have time. And I said, thank God. Anytime we have a program like this, I want to drag her along, because that's the only time I have the 24 hours that we stay together throughout. Because Lagos, she wakes up 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m., she's out of the house, comes back home 7 p.m., and I go. So when we are coming back, sleep, you wake up again, so don't really have this time. Thank you very much, sir.
It happened to me. Happened to me, sir. It happened. Pastor Sarah and I put these pillars to avoid it. Somewhere along the line, it happened. If we did not wake up to correct it, there is no two, because there is no vacuum in life. There will be another lady filling that role in my own life. That's the way it works. Because when the person has drifted, it might be in pursuit of business or career. Sometimes, if it's at the home front, what you see is they leave the man with the maid. The maid now cooks for him. The maid now washes pants. The maid now irons his clothes. Guess what happened? The heart shifts to the maid. Because what the maid is doing for you is she's practicing intimacy with your husband, but you don't know. You think it's just mere service. No, there are laws of intimacy. One day you will come back to that home, you look, you start seeing what you didn't used to see before. Wow, this girl is really fine. Huh? Hey, so she has all these assets. You have suddenly seen what Eve saw after eating the fruit. Your eyes are opening now. If his things are not checked, one day you find yourself in sin. And then they repent, they go to church, cry, oh God, what is going on with me? But you don't know how to correct the situation. The situation continues. It continues. The things we hear in counseling and other, this is how they came about. This is also how to correct it. It's not just to tell them stop, break the relationship, whatever. They have to go back and rebuild the broken walls of their Eden. The garden of Eden is broken. Serpent has penetrated. So when I discovered this, you know, that's why the relationship with Jesus is the foundation of your relationship with your wife. Don't ever play with your spiritual life, because you won't have the fuel to run your married life. So when I get there, the Lord said, see what you're doing. See. You have overstretched this thing. Go and correct it. So like this one about walking, whatever, the first thing is to schedule that day. We have to, what, no matter how much money the business bring, break off one day. It's for family. You break off one day. I don't care what you are doing in ministry. You won't even succeed in saving the world if you ignore your home front. These are challenges, and they are there. They are real. All this quietness will not save anybody. You cannot deceive me. I hear from God. You cannot deceive me. I hear from God. Believe me. He's the one that told me to come and do this before more lives are burnt. Yes.
Thank you very much, Pastor. I have a question, but I just want to point out that today I just got clarification from the order of preference, because I thought that kingdom after God is ministry. But today, family comes before ministry. What if a pastor's wife lives in a city like in Port Harcourt, and the husband is a pastor too, and be transferred to another city, and she has a job here that she cannot just resign, and she's been apart from the husband for like 1 year, he's living in another state doing ministry, and she's in another state, and on the verge of trying to quit her job to join him, he's transferred to another place again to go and pastor. Does she just leave that her career and keep following the husband, because she could do that in 3 years if not lived together?
If you're, remember, I also want to make this point, because sometimes when they say it, people think it's just ministry. If you're married to a soldier, if you're married to a pilot, there are a lot of professions like that. To date, some of these professions, like even banks, are beginning to have similar impact on people's marriages. Now, see the point. If your husband's ministry is constantly on the move, it will be right that you stabilize in one place. If the children are still small, they are that tender age where you can't be moving them like that. But Pastor Sarah's principle with me, these are our own family values. We have 7 major guiding family values. There is no going. He said, you are going on mission. I'm going on mission with you. Simple. Why? Prioritize your marriage before money. What will it profit a man? Jesus said when he was talking about, if you love me more than any other thing, you will lose me. Then he said, what will it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Let me also ask, what will it profit if you gain all the money in that whatever and lose your marriage and your children? Prioritize your marriage above funds. But two people can decide to agree at this stage because of the nature, even the minister has not stabilized where I'll be able to take care of all of us. Okay, you do this career, but man, it means that you have to structure visitation. He visits this week, next week you'll be the one visiting. Or this one, I've not seen him for 1 year. You have left your ground untilled. Believe me, fallow ground is growing on it somewhere along the line. There might be no physical man or woman, but believe me, something is happening inside. And one day, that temptation going on inside can manifest outside. So the best thing is that the two people should team up in pursuing their dominion mandate. Then a lady should get a job that allows her liberty, like working from the home. You see, this thing I call working with your gift. Do you see how it works? Working with the gifts God gave you. Who told you you don't have your own ministry? Who told you you don't have a gift that can be giving you more money than that salary? Who told you? Is it wrong for a pastor's wife to work? No. But if the situation comes to this kind of thing, I will not stay back because of money. What can make me stay back is if the children's life or something's relating with them is at stake. Or maybe where he is so dangerous that it's not good to bring the whole family there for now. Then you have to schedule visits. He has to come, then you go. It has to be that way. That's how to keep that marriage in order. Or maybe you can even give more, you know, maybe you can give more advice or more whatever. Or you have another contribution or suggestion or observation before we go. I'll take two more before we go.
Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you so much. This morning, something just came to me very strongly. There's something they taught, what part of the things they taught us in LBS, the family. They read an article written by the person that discovered Coca-Cola. He said that work is like ball. You drop it, it bounces back. But your family is like a glass. You drop it, it breaks.
It's not going to. Did you hear that?
It's not going to bounce.
It's powerful. I love that. Yes, go ahead.
See, he said, if you drop it, it breaks. You cannot. It doesn't bounce back. But your work, you can drop, and you can pick it up again. Every other thing can drop and pick it up again.
There could be a period a woman resigns for 2 years, just to be able to put things in order at home. Right after that, she goes back. Nothing stops you. Nothing stops you. Nothing. Self-development is the key to advancement. As long as you have it, there is nothing like there is no job for you. What you have is that you have special jobs that pay well, looking for people that are ready. And then you have a lot of people that are not ready, looking for a few jobs that are not available. And like I always say this thing, I have a different way of saying it. I say, if you don't like your secretary, you can sack her. If you employ, you make mistakes in employment, you can sack. Even CEOs can be sacked. But if you raise ugly children in your house, you can't sack them. If your wife is whatever, you can't sack him. It's for a life. So better give that marriage the time it needs and work at it. You can't downsize. You can't do that. You can't restructure. You have to stay with it. Like the old wise people say, as you make your bed. I said, there is life outside Eden and life in Eden. I have chosen the Eden life. Oh my God, it's the closest thing to heaven on earth. To build a good marriage and a good home, there is nothing close to it. It's only the relationship we have with Jesus that beats that. Yes, last contribution. Last or question, yes. I'm extremely glad that we're beginning to, you know, look into these things. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So the question I want to ask is understanding the importance of these things. Like those of us in authority that have people under us that are married, what are some of the systems we can implement to ensure that those working under us have this kind of time for their families? And
only one system. Only one system. Basically, allow people one day off a week. There will be seasons in ministry where that will not work. You grab all the day off days and all that, because maybe a program, like you can imagine to set up this program, which is off day and all that. But after the program, you reward the people back with what you collected from them. It's as simple as that. So that week, instead of having just one day, you can give them 2 days. But beyond that, the other side that you can schedule with system is to, you know, let people have at least maybe a week or something, or 2 weeks to go and relax once every year. Some people can choose to break it into two seasons, you know. The standard thing out there is 3 weeks. Am I correct? So such thing can be scheduled. But the important thing is that it doesn't mean anybody you get up, you say you're going on horse. It means you have to ask for the permission, schedule it ahead of time, so that they build in replacement for whatever it is that you're doing. One of the best ways you can build that as a system yourself, so that when you make such a request, your leaders will not say no, is to always groom leaders who can do very well what you're doing. When you have that, you find it very easy. But when you find that what you do, you are the only one that know how to do it, because you are not following the dominion mandate. You are not multiplying yourself in others. When you tell your pastor, I'm going to be off, and then that means there will be no keyboard played or in church on Sunday, which pastor will allow you? No pastor will allow you. Even God will not allow you. Nobody will allow you. Even in the place of work, there are sometimes they can tell you, forget that. Whatever, you're not going on halt this year. You're not going next year. Then after, somebody will tell you, I have accumulated leave. For the past 7 years, I've not gone on leave. So the way you work, instead of waiting for somebody to schedule it, make sure that anything you are given to do, you always reason people who can do it very well, better than you. If you are the insecure type that like to be the only one that shines, you have a problem on your head. A big problem on your head, because you won't rest. Make sure that anything, learn it from people like us. Anything at all. Start developing people who can do it very well. Because if they are not competent, they will see demand that you stay and do it. And if I'm the one, I give you some days or 5 days, you have to be back on weekend. You have to. What are you doing? What are you doing? You can rest when you, after the rapture. But that's not right. So those systems, every pastor, I'm now telling you, make sure, please show them, remember the Sabbath day, so that you see the law that God put there. Exodus 20 or any other place he put it. God was careful to put this, to make sure that when it comes to labor law, that it's not only the boss and the big guys that are enjoying it, that they make sure that every other person working with them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Go on, verse 9. Exodus 20, verse 8, 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. The Europeans conquered the world when they obeyed this law. Now we have to fight to get it back in Nigeria, because the banks and some of these systems are breaking it. We who are God's kingdom, ministry is the embassy of the kingdom of God, church is the embassy of the kingdom of God on earth, should not be violating the laws of the same kingdom we represent. It's not just for the big man, even the children. Even your driver. Is he not going to drive me to church? It's on Sunday.
But after service, let that man go and rest. Let him go and rest. But I'm going out in the evening. Drive yourself. It's your own relaxation. Let him go and relax with his wife. The people that work with me, I observe this even in the home. There's one time I met a man. I said, no off anything on weekends. But within the week, you can get your own day. So, for pastors who work on Sundays, Mondays is the best day for off day. Mondays. For some ministries, Mondays don't work, so you find another day. The Sundays is a work day. To say that Sunday is your off day is a joke, as a pastor. Finish, you have to think about counseling people, meetings, all sorts of things, then cell groups again, all those. Monday is the best, but it doesn't work, find another day. And everybody cannot go off and shut down ministry, so you schedule it. Why some are this, there's some others. So that's the system you're talking about, and we can all learn it. You will even live longer. You will live healthier if you do this. Okay.
Daddy, I want to really thank you for this forum, for this opportunity. And from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate this forum because a lot of things have been, you know, played under and, you know, people just sweep it under the carpet and leave it. I want to, you know, specially employ our male, that's our pastors, our male pastors, to not just write down or copy down. Let's, you know, go home and start implementation of all these things. You know, let it not be like one of those things. And then for our ladies too, you know, most times our issues are always matters of the heart. A lot of things we hold on, unforgiveness and all that. And maybe because we want to be good wives, we don't want to make too much noise or make it an issue or become the Jezebel everybody wants to avoid. So I think this is another point in our life, like a turning point, where if these things we hear, let's now drop all these other things. Let's learn to forgive our hearts, release them, and tell ourselves that this is a new start. And like Pastor said, you know, go back to your first love. Then that means you have to also go back, look at yourself in the mirror. What are those things that put the men off? Try and work at it. You don't have to be like their mother or, you know, look so whatever that they wonder, will this thing work? This thing they just heard, will it work? If we're going to go out on a date, I wonder, you know, different things. So it's for us to also look at ourselves in the mirror, find out where one or two things have to be worked on. If it's find out those things that make the man like or loved you then, that he could carry you about, you know, and display you. Go back to those things. Amen.
In my own case, Pastor Sarah has been most kind and gracious to me. I made it clear to her what I like. And she made it clear to me, which is what covenant relationship is all about. You have to be honest with you. So she has done tremendously well for me in those, you know, because to finish having four kids and still look the way she does, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of discipline in terms of what you eat and a lot of work. You know, Pastor Steve took me out. It looks like you're blessed with this frame. But I watched Pastor Steve one day. I noticed that I think it was last year. He looked better in this committee. I got to U.S. and he was looking like, you know, the U.S. people. Because if you see the U.S. people, they burglarize men. And if you see the ladies. So,
They took Pastor Sarah and I out with his wife and a few other people to Coca-Cola headquarters in Atlanta. And when we got there, it was my first time. Okay, the first time they took us there, you know, I noticed that there were over, I think it's, were there 90 brands of that drink. I think in Nigeria, you probably will get about two or three. There is no type of flavor you don't have Coke in. There are Coca-Cola that tastes like orange. There are some that taste, and it's free drink, oh. You can drink till it's coming out of your nostrils. It's the factory. I wanted to test and test and test. Oh, trust me with sweet things. But anyway, we're going and drinking and testing. You know, you just take small to. I kept watching. Do you know we finish going round, then they give you one bottle to go with. Bottle Coke. I came to Nigeria with my own. I watched Dr. Neg. She did not. I said, nah, I understand. I watched her sister. The husbands were drinking. I said, nah, I know. I used to think this is a family gift. The only way we will know if, for example, his own is just pure natural gift, family genetic thing, is if you meet the brothers and sisters and you don't see any that has additional. Once you see this thing, it's discipline. Majority of the time, there is control on what that person consumes. Then we also have different sizes in the design. You know, you have V-boot, you have flat boot, you have luxury buses. Don't go and marry a luxurious bus. You want to condense it to a Picanto car. What to kill the woman with exercise? You saw it, and that's what you like. You married it. Let me say this with all joy and dignity that goes with it. Plus size women are beautiful. How many of you like Oprah? You don't like Oprah. You may not like her values. I'm talking about her person and what she, the good things she's doing. You don't like her? I do, my dear. I don't like her values of new age and all that. But who is not moved by the kind of thing she's doing? Plus size. Especially African women, they are specially built from the factory. So if you know it's the French number, you know, straight jacket women, one that you like, go and marry one like that from day one. So what I'm saying is that there is limit to what exercise two can do. There are some things that are people's frame. It's the way they are designed by God. What is also amazing now is that Americans are now copying the African thing. It used to be the French, European style before. Models. All those slim girls with almost flat chest, almost flat back, you know, Chinese women. But do you know why they're going to doctors now, buying boobs and adding all sorts of things? They're trying to copy what we used to have in Africa. That's African woman. That's why we hardly win all these beauty pageants abroad. Because the standards are not fair. Standards are created by one mindset. We are now creating our own. Did you notice all the beauty pageants they created for us? The kind of girls they give it to. Slim with their neck bone showing. Mnet face of Africa. Then they will go and barb their hair. And make them look like, okay, fine, kind of, you know. Let me leave it at that. So there is a balance in it. There is a balance in it. Father, we thank you. Do likewise for people in the church. It's not a hit and run thing. Because we have done it this year, we say, no. I've been looking for a way to make it a system. Charity will be continuous. We have made committing a system. Everybody knows Easter period, Maranatha, December, this one, this period, pastor's retreat, ordination, June. I'm looking for what? Finally, God said to me, the service of honor around that period, bring the pastors out. I have time to look at the mandate I gave the ministry and to look at the family. If you do that consistently, everybody will win. Everybody will win. And that's what God has on his mind. That's why he has you and I here now. You know. Father, we thank you. Use these things we have shared today to bring healing, to bring redirection to many marriages here, families. One of the sin that causes the fall of relationship is the sin of wrong priorities. We've tackled it today. Help us to get our priorities right. Many of us have put other things, every other thing, first before the one we're married to. Every other thing. Our career, our businesses, our finances, our family members. Help us to correct it. Like you said in the book of Revelation, remember where you fell and repent. And then start doing your, go back to your first work. Help all of us to go back to our first works. And by that we'll regain our first love. Help us to make the corrections, the repentances that we need to make. And maybe you, with your heads bowed, ask the Lord, tell him, I'm sorry. I got it wrong here. I got it wrong here. I got it wrong there. And obviously it's affecting my marriage already. And when you leave here, you sit down with your spouse and acknowledge that you actually got it wrong with each other here in this area of priority. And then reach agreement to get things right, to put things back in order. And you're going to reinject fresh inflow of love into that marriage. That's how you get fresh baptism of love in a marriage. You tell your spouse, I'm making this commitment, nothing else apart from God comes before you in my life. Nothing else. Not my father, not my mother, not my brothers, not my sisters, not any other thing. After Jesus is you. The presence of God is here. Father, bring healing to families. Bring healing to marriages. And in that same way, bring complete healing to the ministry. In any way anybody is hurting or broken, bring healing. So that because a wounded army cannot go and take nations, we haven't been made whole in ourselves, on our inside, we'll have the courage and the boldness we need to go and subdue nations. I thank you. Thank you for finally getting us here. Thank you. Because you care, because you love us, because of your commitment to protect this mandate that you are doing all this. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you.
Majesty, Majesty, Your Majesty, Majesty, forever changed, forever I am changed by Your love. Of Your Majesty, forever changed, forever I am changed by Your love. In the presence of Your Majesty,
ask for the blessing of God to rest upon your life, to rest upon your family, to rest upon your marriage, to rest upon your children. I speak that by the power of God, every anomalies in your marital life, in your family life, will be corrected today. I command everything that is not in order to line up right now. I release peace. I release joy. I release harmony. I release understanding into your home. That God Almighty will take you right back in the Garden of Eden. Because that's what Jesus died to give you back. First, an unbroken relationship with the Father and fulfilling relationship with your spouse. I bless you with it. You will have fulfilling marriages. You will have fulfilling love lives. Whatever that has dried up, a new wine will burst forth in your relationship with your spouse. And it will overflow to the children. It will bring healing into that whole family arrangement. Satan, I rebuke you in the life of the pastors. Take your hand from their relationships. Take your hand from their marriages. I command you to stop your works and maneuver. Anywhere another person has stepped in, or another man or another woman, and is now taking the place of the spouse, I command that arrangement to be overthrown this morning. I command healing and restoration. And as your family is healed, your ministry will be healed, and God's promise of dominion will be realized in your life. In Jesus Christ's name.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbeli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 0803-435-7959. 0803-590-9900.